Marco Andretti drives car number 25 for Andretti Autosport, joins us in studio. Marco, thanks so much for doing this.
Oh, you got it. Thanks for having me.
We were talking off air a little bit. This is the final, mercifully final, two-race weekend for you guys. It's the third and final one. And again, we talked about this off air, but when I first heard that they were going to ask guys to race twice in one weekend, my initial reaction was somebody needs to take a look at this again. Just your thoughts on that. How hard is it to drive twice in one weekend, and how does that affect your strategy, for example, going in the first race? Because I think you finished. Did you win the first race?
I finished third or fourth.
Finished fourth in race one in Toronto. But how does that affect your strategy going into the weekend when you know you've got two races?
I think you just have to take it one at a time. But it's definitely brutal physically on the drivers. I mean, that's really hard to really even train for, you know, because you lose. I mean, the last one was Houston. I mean, that's really humid there. I mean, we have perfect weather this weekend for us. But Houston, I lost 7-8 pounds in one weekend. And it's just hard to stay hydrated. But honestly, that one's up to the fans. If they want us to race twice, then we race twice.
Mm-hmm. How does your team prepare for two races in one weekend compared to a single race? I mean, I was trying to think of the logistics of, because in addition to the driver being tired, the crew's got to get tired as well. How do you prepare for that? Because it doesn't seem to me that there'd be an awful lot turnaround time between the end of the first race and the second race.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you tear something up the first day, that mm-hmm. it could be a pretty crazy thrash for the guys to get it together for day two. But you know, I mean, you just, like I said, you just have to take it one at a time. I mean, if you're thinking about Sunday on Saturday, you won't maximize Saturday. So, Saturday night is just all about the regroup and, you know, mm-hmm. do it again.
Do you, when you're in the first race, will you make a conscious decision at early in the race? You look at the situation and go, and this may not be my day. It's not that I'm going to drive safety first, but I know you say you don't like to look ahead to race two, but will you make a conscious decision at some point that, okay, I got to maybe start thinking a little bit about Sunday and maybe be a little cautious out here?
Nope.
Okay.
because I think, honestly, you know, they're both equal amount of points, so you need to maximize both days, you know, and give it all you got on Saturday. And just try to rebound on Sunday. I mean, you know, if you're tentative, I think that, you know, you're even asking for more trouble because, you know, you gotta, if you're going to try to make a move, you have to make a definitive move. You can't do it sort of halfway because you can end up, you know, collecting somebody.
Marco Andretti joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. This city, this race has been awfully good to your family, to your father, who won seven times as a driver here in the kart series, and Andretti Autosport has won with Ryan Hunter-Reay as well. What's your first memory of coming to Toronto for a kart race?
You know, I don't know what year. I remember as a kid, you know, the family and dad in particular having a lot of success at this place. Obviously there's some huge shoes to fill for me mm-hmm. coming here. I mean, seven wins is pretty incredible at one facility. So, you know, I need to start with one.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marco, I mean, you talk about having shoes to fill. I can't think of another auto racing name that would automatically bring with it big shoes. How difficult is it to be a member of the Andretti Racing family?
Well, I mean, I don't know anything otherwise, you know. So for me, it's pretty normal. Obviously, as I grow older and get more mature, I start to realize, you know, how blessed I am to be in this family and in this business. You know, it's something that I truly love, and you know, it's also learn to appreciate what they've done. Mm-hmm. You know, for motorsports in particular, it's just you know, their records are pretty second to none.
It's probably gonna sound like a silly question, but was it obvious to you that you were always gonna be a race car driver when you were a kid? Was that just sort of the way forward, and you know, that was gonna be the sport?
I think when you're really young, you know, you just, when people ask you, they say, yeah, yeah, you're going to drive, you know, but yeah. it became a bit of a reality. I started winning some races in a go-kart around 9 years old. But I tested my father and grandfather. I backed away from it just to see what their reaction was. Yeah, just for half a season until I missed it myself. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they were playing reverse psychology or what, but they said I didn't have to do it. And as soon as I heard that, I'm like, all right, I'm ready to do this now.
So they really did. They gave you that space. I mean, that probably shouldn't come as a surprise, because I would think that your father and grandfather, they would probably realize this isn't something you do half-assed. I mean, exactly. You're not all in. You're not in at all, are you?
Exactly right. I mean, this is a life-dominating sport, you know, and you need to be 100% committed, and you need to enjoy it. Otherwise, you won't do your best work either.
How much of a role did your father have in how you drive, technically? Because I've often wondered, when you come from a family that's had a lot of success, and as I said, that people just really associate the name with the sport, there might be a tendency to sort of try to impose the way they drove on how you drive. How much of that is at work, or did your father essentially allow you to be the type of driver you are? And are you different from your father in the way you drive?
It's really tough to compare. You know, I think Dad's actually done a great job of being hands-off when he needs to be, you know, because it could be quite overwhelming. I mean, the majority of what we learn as drivers, you have to learn by fire. You just go out and learn with experience. You know, coming from my father and grandfather, the only thing they can really do is try to, you know, have me prevent the mistakes that maybe they have made or something like that, but or minimize mistakes anyway, because there's always going to be some. But yeah, I mean, you can't be taught at this level, really. I mean, obviously, that being said, there's a ton to learn. Sure. There's a lot to learn, and you're always going to be learning until you retire. But, you know, there's just so many different circumstances that I think you just need to adapt.
And I guess you probably have to have a feel for it. I mean, a lot of racing's feel, isn't it?
Oh, 100%.
And you can't, I don't think you can teach. I don't think you can teach feel.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think they always say, you know, you'd rather slow a driver down than have to kick him in the butt to go faster. So that's good.
Marco Andretti joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. You're in seventh right now in the points, in IndyCar points. This is the last weekend, as I said, where there will be two races, where there will be back-to-back races. This is, I would guess, a pretty good chance to try to score some points and move up. And, you know, where effectively coming out of Toronto, where do you have to be to have a shot at the overall title?
I'd like to be fourth. You know, and it's definitely a possibility, because there's a lot of points to be had in the next, you know, Saturday, Sunday, this weekend. 106 points. Yeah. So, you know, if you lead the laps and if you put it on pole. So, I don't know. I mean, we just need to, like I said, take it one race at a time. And this is really the make or break weekend, you know, for my championship, because of, you know, we got shuffled out of it with a lot of mechanical issues. So, sitting in seventh, we need to make a huge march this weekend. If we do, then we're still alive.
I'm sure mechanical issues are part of the race business, but I've often sort of thought about, and I think back to the time I had covering F1. I understand drivers, it's part of, like I said, it's part of the business, but I've also always felt that for a driver, there's got to be the sense that you might be one of the few athletes where, when it's out of your control, it's really out of your control. You can literally be, you might feel the best you have ever felt sitting in that car, but if it isn't working, it really doesn't matter. How do you get over that frustration as a driver? Do you learn early?
You do, yeah, because you just need to know that there's a lot of elements in our sport, you know, and, you know, it's still a team sport, you know, even though that my job's the driver. I mean, there's a lot of different key elements that play, reliability being one of those. But, you know, everything just has to go right on a given weekend. And to be honest, I mean, we've driven some perfect races. The crew has done perfect, and we still come up short in IndyCar series. It's so competitive nowadays. And, you know, I always say, I think the top five today is as good as the top five as, you know, back in the day. But I think there's just more of them nowadays, like any sport. You know, the bar's been raised.
Do you prefer racing on a road circuit or on a track? Do you have a preference? I know we were talking about the one race that's been really kind of kind of good to you is the Iowa race at the Iowa Speedway.
Till last weekend.
Till last weekend. Yeah, yeah. We'll forget about that. But I mean, that it's been a pretty good track for you. Is there a particular reason? Does your style favor that type of track, or do you prefer speedway racing to the road circuits?
I don't know. I mean, we've had fun days on both, you know. And when your car's not working, you know, it's not fun anywhere you go. But when it's working, it's fun. So, you know, I think that's what I like about the IndyCar series is it's so diverse. You know, there's a lot of different types of courses, and you know, the champion is one who masters all the aspects of the sport and all the different types of tracks. I mean, we have short ovals, big ovals, road courses, and then the street courses are even different from the road courses because of you know, the character of the places, like the bumps and stuff like that. So, you know, it's that's the fun of it.
Well, they've paved a fair amount of the lakeshore. So, is this circuit a tough circuit to drive? Is it particularly challenging?
Well, the toughest part is always your competition. But to drive it, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's what I like about Toronto is if something happens to you in the race, you can rebound, and because there's a lot of passing zones, which I really like that for the fans as well. I mean, it's going to be we always put on a good show here, and there's always, you know, you can always salvage a good result even if something happens to you early in the race. And I like places like that. It's not always a track position place.
I know that when you were much younger, you tested an F1 when you were much younger. IndyCar racing to me, it's got more passing. There's more chances of overtaking. You know, the whole argument with F1, right? You're in the lead for the most part. Unless your team is not very good, you're probably going to win. Is there something about IndyCar racing that really does separate it from F1? And I'm thinking in particular of the availability of passing, but also it seems to me that in a lot of ways, guys seem to be a little more aggressive in IndyCar than F1. And maybe is that because you know that the opportunities are going to present themselves?
Yeah, I think, you know, actually, I think we have to be aggressive because there's not a lot of opportunities, you know, and that's what creates the good racing.
Sure.
And one thing that the IndyCar series has is our on-track product is pretty awesome to watch. I mean, you know, the ovals, the high speeds are pretty awesome. But yeah, I mean, even on the streets, like we do pass. And I think, you know, credit to a lot of the layouts of the circuits. When you have heavy braking zones like that, you know, that's where it creates a lot of the passing. But when you have, you know, corners where you don't decelerate a lot and the cars are so aero-dependent that when you're following a car, you lose too much downforce to make the pass, right? So, you know, our cars seem to draft very well too, which definitely puts on a good show.
How has IndyCar racing changed in the past couple of years?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's just getting more and more competitive, really.
Is that a financial thing? Are more teams well financed now, or is the better drivers?
I think it's the opposite. I think it's how they regulate the spending. You know, it's we're very much a spec series, and that's why I think from the top to the bottom, you see guys that are so close. I mean, the competition of drivers and teams nowadays are awesome. I mean, obviously, you know, they say you have the big three, Penske, Ganassi, and ourselves. But, you know, anybody can get it right on a given weekend, and I think that's the cool part. If any team out there finds the good setup, then they're gonna be able to win the race.
What tells you early in a race, and we're joined by Marco Andretti, what tells you early in a race that it's going to be your day? Is it possible to know early in the race that this is going to work out?
I've had so many dominating days. So I try to change that thinking, you know, because, you know, during those races, I'm like, this has to be our day. And for whatever reason, we come up short. So I just try to leave an open mind. And you know, we always know early on if we're going to have a shot or not. You know, very early on. Basically, after the third lap, you know where the car is going to be. You see where your pace is, settles in at. And from that point on, there's just, as we talked earlier, so many elements that can make or break your day.
At that, I would think at that point too, you're probably, once the car is settled in, once you know what your pace is, there has to be a certain point too where you kind of realize that I might need some help on this day. Do you find yourself thinking that as well?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, if you get a little bit wrong, that's the other tough part. I mean, you'll see in qualifying, we'll be, you know, from first to last, there'll be probably a second.
Right.
Here, you know, and if you're 0.2 off, that puts you almost, you know, middle of the field. So it's very easy to dial yourself out, you know, with one little change from having a car that can win to knowing you're going to hang on all day. And there's been races like that, but that's what I like about Toronto. I mean, I've had mediocre cars that we almost put on the podium here just because of attrition. Just finish the race and right place at the right time. Definitely, it's a circumstantial type race. There's a lot of carnage that happens here too, mm-hmm. which is cool.
Why was it? Why is it cool? You like the carnage? I mean, I know you have to have that certain.
Well, if it's not me,
I was going to say I don't think anybody wants to be part of the carnage, but it does get to the question. Again, you're from a racing family. You know what it's all about. Do you ever find yourself a little nervous, a little scared?
No. I mean, I'd retire that second. I really would.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
You don't need that sort of the whole adrenaline rush of being a little on edge, a little scary, a little scared?
No. I mean, you know, I think definitely scared is probably not the word. I think I always get anxious. Like, I want to get the race going and stuff like that. But I'm never really nervous. I never, definitely never scared.
Mm-hmm. At that, as you say, the time that happens, you'll know it's time to walk away.
Exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong. You have to respect the speed. You know, mm-hmm. you have to respect the consequences of a bad move and stuff like that. But it can't be the forefront of your mentality. You won't be quick.
How much longer are you going to do this?
Oh, man. I'm not even close to where I want to be career-wise. I mean, you know, we've been plenty competitive, but I mean, I'm really disappointed in my win rate, you know. It's, I mean, I've led 1,000 laps in this sport, but only have a couple wins, so that's been frustrating for me. So, I want to get Indianapolis, I want to get a championship, mm-hmm. and all that is very attainable. It just needs everything to go right. So, you know, my grandfather's 74, he's still racing, so.
Will he be here this weekend?
No, I think he's going to Mid-Ohio, the next one.
Obviously, people. Everybody knows about him. Everybody. I mean, my generation. We watched him race. It seemed like almost every weekend. Your father raced. Your grandfather raced. How are they different when it comes to their relationship with you as a driver? Are they different? I mean, is your grandfather? Will your grandfather be more the type that'll maybe give you a little tip or kind of, you know, put his arm around you and say, listen, this is, you can do this, and your father's more hands-on? Or how does that relationship work?
I think my grandfather's definitely more hands-on. You know,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, even though my dad's the team owner and stuff like that, I mean, I'm sure he, you know, when we go back to the shop after an event, he'll really diagnose things and stuff like that, and then we'll chat midweek. But really, like, you know, at the racetrack, I think my grandfather really loves to be involved in the discussions and stuff like that. And, you know, they're both tough on me, but I'm tough on myself. And, you know, my grandfather's very ultra competitive. So when we're doing good, he's all over us.
Right. Well, and I would think too, maybe for him, in some ways, Marco, it might be a little easier for him because he's not the hands-on day-to-day guy, right? So he can be your grandfather as opposed to team owner and father of the driver.
Yeah. But like I said, I think the reason Dad and I, you know, make that relationship work is because he separates it too. He does a mm-hmm. good job of it too. And, you know, he's up until the race, he's team owner, but at the race, I mean, he's definitely watching as a father.
Yeah. Has there been a point where in your relationship where you've either had to tell him to back off a bit or he's had to sort of say to you, I have to back off a bit, or did that relationship just sort of develop naturally?
I think it developed naturally. And I think, you know, basically because of the situation Dad was in, like mm-hmm. he lived it, you know, right. with his, you know, famous father in the sport. So, you know, he knows that sometimes there's a tension that doesn't need to be brought on, and sometimes there is, and he's been doing a great job at that balance. I mean, it's definitely tough. I mean, to have a family business, no matter what the business is, mm-hmm. it's definitely challenging, but, you know, I think the two of us see the big picture.